Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to start this morning with a prayer, and then we'll move right into our scripture reading. Please join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians. We're doing chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we prove to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of our Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This ends the reading.
Once again, good morning. As always, we're asking ourselves of this passage, what does it say to us in this day and in our time? And the first thing we are able to discern this morning is that Paul is revealing to us an important aspect of our spiritual growth and discipleship. In fact, what Paul reveals not only in this passage, but in the entire letter to the Thessalonians, the importance of gratitude, the importance of being thankful for our spiritual discernment and discipleship. So therefore, the first thing we say is it turns out that Mom was right for more reasons than she knew. And what I'm referring to is those times in your childhood when someone gave you a gift or perhaps a compliment or did an act of kindness unto you. And perhaps as a youngster, one of your first responses is that you kind of wanted to enjoy that gift for a little bit or appreciate and enjoy that moment of an act of kindness or gratitude, only to have that first impulse interrupted by your mother, and that she made clear to you your first priority should be to thank the other person for their kindness. In this letter, Paul not only included a thanksgiving for the Thessalonian church members at the beginning, but also through the letter he thanks God and thanks the Spirit working within them Paul had a founder's interest in the church of Thessalonica. On Paul's second missionary journey, he and Silas started the church community at Thessalonica. And in fact, barely had the church started when an angry and jealous mob ran them out of town. But Paul acknowledges that in these hostile surroundings, that church in hostile surroundings continued to launch and continued to grow. And Paul had a lot to give thanks for. Perhaps when he was remembering the church and what it had to go through, when he wrote, "For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." And Paul also said, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." In that same spirit, I stand here before you today, and I say I thank God that I'm pastoring First United Methodist Church of Turlock, who in spite of challenging times, in spite of the times in which many of the mainline churches are under attack, both within and without, that you continue to plant seeds of hope in your outreach in a variety of ways in this church, that you continue to do acts of faith that are strong and clear, and that you continued in your charity and compassion for a people that you do not know, suffering times of great loss. You reached down and you reached out. I'm proud of you. So Paul reminds us also in our journeys the importance of those two little words. First of all, thank you. Paul reminds us in the letter that we are to give thanks for this creation. Paul, throughout the letter of both Thessalonians and other letters as well, talks about the spirituality of thankfulness and gratefulness. He says if we are to be healed and whole, we need to remember to give thanks for this creation, our world, and all that makes this glorious universe both seen and unseen. Gratefulness for creation should be our first step in our spiritual journey. When is the last time that you were both awestruck and thankful for this creation around you? When's the last time you rose early to see a sunrise, to allow that aha moment of your soul to give thanks to God? Oh, we get so busy. We get so very busy that we often do not see the wonders in our midst. I share with you an illustration from a Christian father that is both true and factual. Can I get an amen? I always let you know this is true and factual. A father and daughter were flying cross-country from New York City to Los Angeles. The little girl kept looking out of the window and exclaiming, "Daddy, Daddy, look, there's a river." And then without a lot of break, she exclaimed again, "Daddy, Daddy, look, look, there's a big farm down there. Do you see that big farm?" And then, "Daddy, Daddy, look, look at that mountain over there. Isn't it beautiful, Daddy?" Well, Daddy was reading a newspaper or magazine, and was responding to the daughter's exclamation by that parental thing that we sometimes do. She was so excited in seeing creation from 30,000 feet that at one point the dad was just a little irritated at her exclamations and a little embarrassed by his daughter's excited chatter. Finally, he turned to the passenger seated nearby and apologized and said the following: "Please forgive my daughter. She still thinks everything is wonderful." It is wonderful. Do you still think everything is wonderful? Are you living wonderfully? Are you living awe-fully? Are you living power-fully? In seeing that the creating and creative God of this universe is still at work. Secondly, today, if we are to be healed and whole, we need to remember to give thanks for this church and what God did in Christ to birth it and what others did before us to preserve it. The greatest instrument of healing God has ever used in this world was employed one time. That act of healing of God through Christ on the cross. See, through Jesus' sacrifice, the destructive power of death was forever crushed, leaving in its place our choice for health and wholeness. While we have breath, we have hope. And we give thanks for this church and our part of its continuing unfolding of Jesus' story and continued work in this community and beyond. And we give thanks on that church's impact through the ages on the lives of people. An old guidepost story that I came across years ago and still recall at times of how this transformation can take place. The story of a family in France, Christian family. The fellow was a leatherer, they called it, a leather worker. They had several children, and the youngest, from the time he was a toddler, loved to come out into his father's workshop where his father worked with the leather. An accident happened. An awl, which is a pointed leather tool for working leather. There was an accident, and it blinded the little child in one eye. Then, unfortunately, this was in the early 1800s. There was an infection they couldn't control, and he lost sight in both eyes. But the family refused to be crushed, inspired the child, encouraged the child, and the child, of course, responded to that encouragement and love with wisdom, a longing for learning that could not be extinguished. At that time, in the schools for the blind, they were using these clumsy wooden blocks to attempt for the blind to read. And before this young boy was out of his teenage years, he took an awl very similar to the one that originally blinded him, and by punching dots into rough paper, created a new system through which the blind could read with just the sensitivity of their fingertips. This teenager was a man by the name of Louis Braille, who in those early 1800s invented a system that is still on some part in use today. And in the history archives of the family, the writer of the article called Sprinkle said, they asked the question and posed, when the all and falling all in our lives strike, some will ask, why did God allow this to happen? We rejected that notion. We asked the question in this suffering and in this accident, how can we serve God? Is there tragedy in the world? Yes. And some people, I think, mistakenly try to blame that on God. We're far too good at tragedy to need God's help. Can I get an amen? But when the all falls, as it will, we know that we serve a crucified God who walked this land of joy and great sorrow, transforming and giving new meaning to our struggles and redefining our joys while defeating the power of death over us forever. And last of all today, if we are to be healed and whole, we need to remember to give thanks for this life and the presence of Christ in it, and what we are called to do to continue to represent Christ in our community today. We give thanks for this life and the presence of Christ in it. And I know sometimes that is challenging and difficult, is it not? In the middle of our everyday struggles and challenges, not even the great struggles or challenges that come and misfortunes that come in our lives, but sometimes just in the general distractions of life in the everyday world. And we sometimes forget to be thankful for this life. And I share this story with you, and it is one of my more favorite stories, so you will probably hear this on more than one occasion. Amen? Just in case you forget. I was going through a period some years ago, and some of you could relate to this. You know, at times in your life where you say, I've had a bad day, right? We all have that. If you had times in your life you say, well, I've had a bad week, right? Other times you say, well, this has been a bad month. Amen? I won't ask for a show of hands, but some of you may know what it's like to have a bad year. Amen? And I was having one of those. My wife and I were driving back from a meeting in Sacramento, and it had been a challenging year. The things had been going on, not important, but just challenging in all kinds of areas. And as we were driving home, we were up towards the north coast, getting into the lower section of Humboldt County, and about where the Great Redwoods start. Have any of you traveled the Redwood Highway through that area, 101, the Great Redwoods? How many out there? All right. Beautiful, yes? And how many of you traveled up there when you see the great big double rainbows and sometimes triple rainbows? Have any of you seen that? I see a few heads nod. Yeah. They're absolutely marvelous. Now, one thing I learned about rainbows as a child was, as a small child, I heard about that, you know, pot of gold at the bottom of the rainbow. And I'd see a rainbow outside there in southern Ohio where I was being raised, and I would try to challenge myself out there to get to that bottom of the rainbow for that pot of gold. Well, my mother set me straight that the rainbow was somewhat of an optical illusion. You could never really get to the base of the rainbow because its base would always be changing. And there was no pot of gold there. But she goes, there is always hope, because God used it as a symbol for a sign of hope. Okay. Well, I found out on this day returning from Sacramento that Mom was only partially correct in life and things. My wife and I were driving there on the Redwood Highway after you got into the beginnings of the Great Redwoods. And as we were going, I saw this huge double rainbow. And up in front of me, within my eyesight distance, in this kind of misty rain, you could see the bottom of the rainbow sitting right on the highway. And as we were driving towards it, I kept expecting it, you know, to disappear. And right as we started to hit that area, I let the foot off the gas. And it seemed like time slowed down. And as we went through that, the rich colors of the rainbow actually came through the windshield of the car and penetrated us. And it's like we were just bathed in purple and blue and then orange and gold and came through the other side. We looked at each other, just wordless. But at that moment, really, my bad year ended. Because there, somewhere just south of Myers Flat, a symbol of the Spirit of God spoke to me. And I knew deep down that I had been forgetting God's presence in me and with me. And for once in my life, my mother was wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? So as we go towards conclusion today, and last of all, if we are to be healed and whole, we need to remember these teachings of Paul, who calls us to give thanks for this creation, to give thanks for this church and what God did in Christ to birth it. And last of all, to give thanks for this life and the presence of Christ in it. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. I send you forth as a people in whom the Spirit of Christ lives, breathes, and touches the world again. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon you always. And the people said,
thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day, and may God bless you.